chapter 12, verse 7 through 11, and this is what we find written there. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we celebrate this Trinity Sunday in the life of our church, I'd like us to focus for just a moment on the theme for this passage, the author of diversity. The author of diversity. Humanity has made several attempts to classify itself. And this has especially been true in the United States, where so many different people who come from so many different places take up residence here in this country. They speak so many different languages and claim so many different personalities and character traits. One of the oldest attempts used to indicate that our nation was united was the idea of the melting pot, a place where people's different identity is somehow lost or sacrificed or assimilated into one group, thereby being melted into this pot called the USA. It was an attempt to blend together the whole of people's differences into one people. That concept didn't quite work. As each culture ended up, usually, as they arrived on these shores, somehow with the resolve to preserve their own unique cultural identity in some way. That, along with the refusal of some to accept the differences of others, kind of squashed that primary principle of being melted together. The recognition that people did everything in their own power to maintain their own unique identity then led to the cultural concept of the salad bowl, a cultural metaphor in which each person maintained their own unique identity, but conceptually lived to coexist within a unified living environment. That concept weakened and later gave way to the idea of the fruit bowl, where each group existed and shared their unique differences with others, but somehow those groups all existed within the one bowl. And I guess our attempt to define who we are is lost as the task becomes more and more difficult with more and more people seeking to claim their heritage. The only concept that really seems to work, that really would work, is that concept that's offered by God that allowed us to be different and one at the same time. That is, if we choose to allow the author of diversity to do its work. Once again, we encounter the writings of Paul. This time he's written a clear letter to the newly formed Christian community at Corinth, Greece. The topic of his discussion is what the Greeks call charisma, gifts that are bestowed on people by God's gracious spirit. The problem is that some people were using their anointing of God's spirit in their lives and the gifts they had, using them to pull rank on other members of the community. Paul wanted to let them know that while it might be true that people had different gifts, God who gave them those gifts was not divided. It was the same God. And this same God gave them these gifts for one purpose and one purpose only, so that they, the people representing the presence of God in the world, could show the unity of God within the church and serve the common good to all people. He wanted them to realize that no person was responsible for the gift that they have. So simply having a specific gift doesn't mean that it's yours and that there's some certain hierarchy or status that goes with it. What defined them was not what they had, but it was the one who had graciously given these gifts to them that defined them. And with that, Paul chose the body, the human body, to illustrate, define, and clarify Corinth's Christian relationship to one another. Paul now knows the fullness of God. He knows God as his creator. He knows God as his savior in Jesus Christ. And he's now experienced the presence and the power of God's Holy Spirit alive in him, a fire that will not go out and one that gives energy and passion to his ministry. He knows God as the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that has called him out of his former life as a Pharisee set apart and now into one as an apostle set apart to the life he is now living. And now he sets the stage for all who are following so that he might understand the calling and we might understand this calling that we have from God. Paul wants them and us to know that our understanding of who they were and who we are wasn't and isn't because of their culture or their ethnicity, their nationality or their race, their class or their place in society, their gender or their sexual definition. It was, in fact, the one and the same Spirit that was responsible, not only for the gifts, but for the diversity of the gifts, pointing to the unity of God, and also allots the quantity of the gift that each person received. On this day in the life of the church, Trinity Sunday, our efforts to define a God in a Trinitarian or three-person expression of faith says that God exists as creator and is totally spirit, that God has been revealed in flesh and blood in the presence and person of the incarnate Son, Jesus Christ, who has now ascended into heaven. And Paul believes that God has also delivered the Holy Spirit to those who have been called as apostles and disciples who by faith believe the promise of the Holy Spirit. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit who is now alive and active in each one as the fullness of the knowledge of the glory of God becomes known. But if it's never more than that, if it never gets beyond God's gift of the Spirit, then we've missed a very important point. And it's a point that we can ill afford to overlook. You see, brothers and sisters, what God really wants us to do is to take a good, hard look at one another. And I don't mean to look to see if someone's hair is out of place or if they have food in their teeth or whether they're dressed appropriately. I definitely don't mean to look at each other if we can see the splinter in our brother or sister's eye while neglecting to notice the 2x4 sticking out of our own. God wants us to look at one another so that in our looking, we might dare to see the presence of Christ and his Spirit in the person right before our very eyes. Indeed, not just that we might dare to see the presence of Christ in the person right before our eyes, but that we might see the diversity of God's gift of the Holy Spirit in one another. You see, brothers and sisters, there's a story about the late jazz trumpeter Dizzy Gillespie. He's remembered not only for his talent, but also how his cheeks puffed out like a frog's as he blew his horn. That's what he was known for. The musical writer Jim Doherty says that one day Dizzy Gillespie was talking to the Chicago Symphony trumpeter Adolph Bud Herseth. Herseth was white and was known for turning beet red when he played his trumpet. Dizzy Gillespie, of course, who was black, kidded with Herseth and said, "Bud, how come your cheeks don't puff out when you play?" And Herseth turned to Dizzy and said, "Diz, how come your face doesn't get red when you play?" Two great trumpeters in two different styles. And God has made us all unique. And creation shouts the message that God enjoys and is the author of that diversity. You see, brothers and sisters, in reality, it's our ability to see our differences and celebrate them, not to see our differences as something that demands that we become alike. If God wanted us all to be alike, I'm confident that God would have created us all alike. We could have all been created alike, all with the same abilities, all with the same skill sets, all with the same quantity of everything, and then we would have been robotic. Then there would have been no need to look at one another, not even to acknowledge one another. What would be the value of the individual if we all looked alike and performed alike? What need would we have of each other if we could all do exactly the same thing? How many of us would feel valued if we were just one part replacing another part? And that's why Paul states later on in this chapter, "But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." But therein lies the problem. It's a problem because at times what we really expect is for everyone to be exactly like us. And what we do is we choose our differences to divide the body of Christ based on what's different rather than celebrating our differences and honoring one another to bring the body of Christ together. What we do is choose to dishonor the creation of the author of diversity and the creation of the church instead of celebrating our differences, allowing the Spirit to use our gifts to draw us together and make us one. At times we choose to point out the gifts that we don't have, bemoaning their absence as a shortcoming instead of celebrating the gifts that God has given us that we do have as something that can be used as an advantage to advance the kingdom of God in Christ. At times, some of us choose to lift up and think of our gift as more important than any other gift instead of seeing our individual gift as a fragment of God's entire personality, a fragment that God has been gracious enough to share with us. You see, friends, we only see each other as persons, separate from the gift that God has given us. Then we set ourselves up to miss the beauty of Christ's Spirit that God has given to each one of us. You see, brothers and sisters, Trinity Sunday is more than a day when we celebrate our understanding of the fullness of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as one unified body. It's a day when we acknowledge that the fullness of God is now present, alive, and active in each one of us. through the presence of God's Spirit. It's more than a day when we celebrate God coming to dwell among us in the form of God's Holy Spirit and Divine Spirit. It is the day when we celebrate the blessing of God's diversity of creation and the variety of gifts that God has given to each of us. Our God, the God who is one, but whose Spirit is subdivided, multiplied, and shared with us through a variety of gifts, has called us for this day to embrace God's holy presence in our differences, as well as God's desire for us to become one. The day, as well as all others, is the day when we should look one another in the eye and admit that we need one another. We should look one another in the eye and admit that we need each other to make the church whole. We need each other to fully represent the presence of God in the world. We need one another to show the world the unity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We need one another because without each other, we would be incomplete. That's the reason that Paul told the church at Ephesus, instead speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As each part does its work. We each have a part to play. We each have work to do. And it's in the acknowledgement of each other's gifts that we honor the whole of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Through our one God, the gift of God's Spirit, a Spirit that is present in you and in me and everyone who has been called to be a part of the church. We're different. That's how God created us to be. And we are the same. That's how God created us to be. Different, but the same. The same, but different. Let's give praise to God, the author of diversity, for the gift of our unique differences. He is the God and Father of all, with one Spirit given to all, who is above all, and through all, and in all. And that is God's word to God's people today. Thanks be to God. Amen.